the fourth round of debates between the candidates, presidential hopefuls, for the 10th presidential elections. Well, this round, we have two candidates of the 10th presidential election in Iran. Hujjat al-Islam wal-Muslimin, Mr. Mahdi Karoubi, and Dr. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. I would like to welcome both to the debate. If you want to exchange greetings with the viewers, please go ahead.
In the name of God, the Merciful, the compassionate, I wish to express my greetings to you and all your guests and all your colleagues, and also Dr. Ahmadinejad. And I wish to greet all the audience, our audiences throughout the country. And I hope that tonight's discussion would be fruitful, and hopefully it would be effective in people's decision making.
In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, I also greet the great Iranian nation, you and Mr. Karoubi, and I do hope that God Almighty will help us determine the best fate for the Iranian nation, replete with joy, dignity, and pride.
I mention to the viewers that fortunately, according to witnesses, the debates of the past few years have been welcomed by the people and by the viewers. At least after the debate, the people in their discuss the viewpoints, the commonalities and differences between the viewpoints of the candidates. And this is a very auspicious occasion. Before launching the debate, once again, let me remind the point that at the end of the previous debate I mentioned, that is the criticism of the candidate, of the absent candidates, just entails them to have a right for defense. In the previous candidates, about 2-3 minutes have been assigned to the absent candidate. According to the rule, in the first place, Mr. Karoubi will speak, and then Mr. Ahmadinejad will conclude the debate. Mr. Karoubi, I will ask you a question. In your plans and programs, there are a few concepts that you emphasize on: justice, economic justice, planning, and particularly in economic justice, you speak about how to expand the oil income. How do you compare your plan with the ongoing plan by Mr. Ahmadinejad?
Very well. This is a very good point you mentioned and a good question. I had a motto in the past, and in fact, that was my main motivation for entering the race. That will be the main axis of my discussion. In order to shed light on my motives, in fact, I've entered the race in order to make a change. I'm going to tell you what that means. I did emphasize the executive branch in order to materialize this change. So I want to be the president and the head of the executive branch, because this is a presidential race, and of course, Mr. Mousavi, Mr. Ahmadinejad, and also Mr. Mousavi, who is a friend of mine, he has entered the race. They have entered the race. Mr. Rezai has also entered the race. And there was also talk of Mr. Khatami entering the race that was eventually canceled. I said that since I've formed the party and I've entered the race in order to make a change. In fact, I intend to make changes, particularly with respect to Mr. Ahmadinejad's policies and also the administration of the affairs in the country. I consider two main problems with respect to the administration of affairs by Mr. Ahmadinejad. I was initially asked about this, and I did not respond to such questions. I did not respond to questions raised by domestic or foreign news agencies, even though I had some protests, but since the Guardians Council had confirmed this and approved this, and the government is just pursuing its policies, I did not actually raise any point. And I did criticize in certain junctures, but I stopped criticizing. But I did eventually increase cases of criticisms, and I eventually entered the race. And of course, this is a difficult task because the person who is in charge of the government has been in charge of administration of affairs for 4 years. And in fact, based on the Constitution, the president can enter the presidential race again and run for another four-year tenure. And of course, he has become informed about the affairs of the country, and we are not that much informed, of course. So I'm ready to discuss this subject, and speaking of Mr. Ahmadinejad's friends and supporters, I do have certain points to discuss. I do see some deficiencies with respect to the administration of affairs in the country, and also the methodology applied for running the affairs in the country. I do have some points to raise with respect to Mr. Ahmadinejad himself, and naturally I'm going to raise these issues, and Mr. Ahmadinejad is going to defend himself, and the people are the ones who have to make the final decision. I'm going to raise the points clearly and openly, and naturally Mr. Ahmadinejad, as he wishes, of course, he's going to respond to the points that I've raised. And I also have certain questions to pose with respect to Mr. Mousavi. Mr. Ahmadinejad is presenting and offering information, and the information seems to, these pieces of information seem to be erroneous. Either the information are erroneous, or probably he may just act in an unrealistic manner. But the people may have a different understanding of the remarks made by Mr. Ahmadinejad. But I'm going to just mention this point quite explicitly. Either Mr. Ahmadinejad is misinformed. Probably there are some intentions in order to somehow deviate him. And sometimes the officials may be provided with some information that are not right. I believe that since Mr. Ahmadinejad became the president, if there was a sort of friendly and logical approach adopted towards him by the senior officials, probably the situation may have been prevented. Speaking of the issue of the light halo, and of course, there's no need for adopting any hostile approach. And in fact, I did investigate the issue, and I said that he was speaking to Ayatollah Javadi, a philosopher, a jurist, a scholar, a prominent scholar. And I saw him talking to Ayatollah Javadi. And I have also traveled to the United Nations as the Parliament Speaker. Of course, diplomats are more familiar with this. Actually, I heard Mr. Ahmadinejad saying that there has been a halo of light around his head, and I heard that he was saying that their eyes were not moving. He's referring actually to the audiences, that their eyes were not moving, and in fact, actually, when you are delivering a speech, you are concentrating on that speech. You are actually delivering a speech at a place where the whole world is listening to you. So how can he see a halo of light and at the same time realize that the eyes of the audiences are not moving? Since this was somehow related to religious issues, that made me really feel regretful. Actually, speaking of Ayatollah Amoli, I do respect him, and that increased my respect towards him. Speaking of the burial and the funeral procession for Ayatollah Behjat, I was present there, and I greeted Ayatollah Amoli there. Ayatollah Amoli actually gave some advice in a scholarly manner, and he mentioned some religious sayings, emphasizing that our infallible imams, based on the Prophet's order, had called for humans not to even deceive an animal. So, in fact, I did investigate this issue. And so, let me just tell you honestly that our television did not really provide the news coverage for that. This is the first point. Now, sometime later, Mr. Ahmadinejad traveled to Iraq, and he said that the Americans intended to kidnap him. The U.S. is an arrogant power, is a malicious power. In fact, the U.S. cannot just simply abduct a person. In fact, they have to just consider their national interests and do the calculations. I've traveled to the United States once. And, of course, I was provided with a great deal of security. It was at the time of Mr. Nater, it was an inter-parliamentary meeting, and it was the sixth parliament, Iranian parliament or majlis. I traveled to the United States, and there were even security dogs that were controlling everywhere, and there were the security guards as well. And of course, I had my Iranian bodyguards, and I did joke with them, just telling them to learn the ways and means for providing security from American bodyguards. So, they know, the Americans know very well what's going to happen if they kidnap a president. Actually, I'm quoting this from Mr. Ahmadinejad himself. A few days later, Mr. Ahmadinejad said that I took photos with the Americans, and even though Bush had called on the American forces to break the sound barrier in Iran, and due to Mr. Ahmadinejad's influence, the American forces rejected to obey Bush's orders. So I was actually surprised.
Thank you very much. You have spent 10 minutes, 15 seconds.
Actually, I mentioned 2 points, and I think it took a long time, and I thank you very much for your patience.
Mr. Ahmadinejad, please.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful.
وجعلنا من خير انصاره واوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه
Well, I would like to once again greet the great Iranian people and also Mr. Karoubi and you, Mr. Pur Hussein. I think what Mr. Karoubi, the issues he raised, they do not need to be answered because they have nothing to do with the running of the country's affairs and the manner to do that. I thought he was going to talk about the decisions, the great decisions the government made during the in economic industrial spheres. He made two claims. The first one, it's fabricated, is quite clear that it's fabricated. And the second claim, which is apparently he's sitting there on talking on behalf of Americans, defending them. Why doesn't he let Americans comment on this issue themselves? I would like to tell the great people of Iran, the people of Iran deserve high status, be it in the region or on the world level. Our people are after justice, our people is after dignity and progress. The late Imam demanded the same thing, the leader wants the same thing, and the people want the same. That's what history is calling for. That's what Islam is calling for. We should be after spreading justice and make no hesitation in doing so. Economic justice, social justice, these will pave the way for development of the country. I want to make a comparison, a brief comparison, in different indices for the people. I want the people to, if they can see this on TV screen, one of the main indices of economy in any country is the gross domestic product, the GDP. This is the official statistics of the Central Bank and the Statistical Center of Iran from 28 years ago to date. As you can see here, the GDP in this government, despite all the sanctions imposed and all the pressure put on this government, has been 6.25% of the past 3 years, and in the previous government it was 5.61%. We had sanctions, we had boycotts, but our GDP increased despite all this. Another index in the economy is unemployment rate. 3-4 years ago to date, we have seasonal unemployment rate. One season diagram is here. You can see in spring, up to 3 years ago, the rate was high. From 4 years ago, the unemployment rate started declining. As you can see, continuously, it's been declining, and it's obvious here. This happened at a time when all over the world, the unemployment is on the rise. You can see here, the green line is America. You can see the unemployment rate. The red one is Canada. As you can see, the blue one is America, green is the U.S., red Canada, and the purple one is the U.K. From 2007 in 2008, the unemployment rate in those countries have been rapidly rising due to crisis. Another economic index is the Gini coefficient, the annual Gini coefficient, if we can see that on screen. That means the difference between the outcome of different people from different walks of life. This coefficient should decline. The worst case has been like 20, 25 years ago, and the best status for the first time in the history of economy in Iran, you can see here in the last government. And the reason is clear. We spread justice bonds, and also we raise the wages of the lower strata of the society, and also more support is given to people with lower income. The last one estimate you can see, it was done last year, and the day before yesterday this was published by Iran Statistical Center, which you see is the lowest, has been the lowest. Well, social welfare, as you can see here, another economic index, the pensioner's salary, it at the beginning of this government was 139,000 tumans, and it is now almost three or four folds, as you can see, 256% growth in pensioners, actually, income. This is what justice means. One of the main reasons for inflation and economic disorder is the government's debt to central bank. If one more time we can look at this diagram here, from 20 years ago until last year, you can see governments debt to central government. All the governments withdrew some money from central bank. All the governments, until before this government, they owed the central bank $100 billion. And if you calculate on the basis of 70 reals 27 years ago, the dollar would be much, much higher if you convert it to the parity rate of dollar and real today. This has declined since this government came into office, and it has changed. If you look at that one again here, I read the numbers here for you. 27, 8 years ago, there were great debt from central government. In the next government, $594 billion. 4 years later, $34 million. Again, in another government, which I'm mentioning later, Iran, it's nearly $2,500 billion. Another 4 years, $1,900 million. And before this government, this was added to market liquidity. It's $1,700 something billion. And in this government, we have refunded most of the money that the previous governments got from the central bank. This government has returned the money. Another index is inflation. If we look at this, every 4 years from 28 years ago, we have all the graphs here. The first 4 years of each government, the inflation rate, despite all international sanctions and all the foreign debt, all the debts to the central government, you can see this government is less indebted compared to other governments before. It was 16.5, 17.5 for Mr. Hashemi's government, 18.9 for Mr. Mousavi's government. This is the inflation rate of various governments in Iran. This is when the inflation rate in Iran is less than the last 4 years. It's on the decline. It's below 15% now. It will be one digit soon. In the whole world, the inflation rate is rising. This is the inflation rate in the Middle East region. As you can see, on non-oil countries without oil, blue, as you can see, is the Middle East countries, from 9.3 changed to 15 point something. Oil-rich countries from 10 point something has reached 15, more than 15%, which shows an increase. In various continents, you can see this in this diagram. If you can see, yes, all over the world, as you can see, the inflation rate is rapidly increasing everywhere in the world. In Iran, it is declining. All this means that this government has had a transparent and serious scientific plan for the economy of the country. This is what the government is pursuing, and it is leading the country forward. The running of the country's affairs, the reflection is here in these statistics and data. These are the data, and the same people are preparing it who have been preparing this for the past 27, 8 years. They are preparing it in a scientific way, the same way that has been being done from 28 years ago up to date. When we're talking about managing the country in the wrong way, then we should compare these together. Anybody can talk about anything he wants to, any kind of comments they can make. I'm sorry about hearing these. We cannot run a country. I saw a tape, what somebody had said. I saw a footage, and I heard somebody else, I overheard somebody else say this. Yes, I said something to Americans. I told the Iraqi premier that if they say it's wrong, I will offer the documents. And Americans did not reject this. You are here to talk on behalf of Americans. You are a revolutionary man. And you have been active in the course of revolution. You have lectures against America. They are recorded, what you have said in various periods of post-revolution era. How can you defend America now? I'm really amazed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ahmadinejad. You spoke about 10 minutes. Mr. Karoui, please.
Well, Mr. Ahmadinejad, there are three points I wish to mention with respect to what you said. The first condition for a government is to be honest with the people. And in fact, honesty is the greatest asset for government. And in fact, since the time of Zoroastrians till the advent of Islam and the Imam of the time, in fact, they were told not to do two things. That is, not to say a lie and not to actually spend the money resulting from actually usury. So, in fact, these are considered as sins. In fact, I want the government to have people's trust and avoid the situation that has been created today. This is the first point. The second point is that the statistics you are releasing, the figures you are talking about, I've been working at the parliament for 16 years, and I've been among the people who had entered the parliament when you was actually the governor of Maku, for example. I was the vice speaker of the parliament, and I do not want to just mention my age, and I am not an uninformed person. I am informed about the figures and the statistics. In fact, all the figures released are in contrast with the figures you are mentioning. I wonder why the television is not just shedding light on this. Actually, I cannot explain all these, and the president, and I have nothing at my disposal. A cleric was told, where is the middle of the land? And he said that this is the middle of the land, and if you reject that, you can just measure the whole land. Regardless of radio and television, we can just go to the academic centers and universities. The people are also aware of the realities. You said that according to central bank figures, the inflation was announced to be 25%, and you said that if the inflation rate is 14%. Inflation, regardless of scientific aspects, deals with people's livelihood. My mother and grandmother have both died. They even know what inflation is, because when they go and purchase some meat, they will feel the inflation. For example, meat is 6,000 tumans per kilo, and you're saying that is 4,000 kilos. This is what Mr. Zarghami, the IRB president, said. So you are just mentioning these figures and the statistics. There should be a team of experts just discussing these figures. You are just releasing the figures, and you're saying that everything is in good condition, and experts say that the unemployment rate has increased. What should we do? What should we do in order to make this clear? I'm still a man of the revolution. I'm a revolutionary. I'm still treading the path of the Imam. In fact, that diverted path that had problems with the path of Imam is now guiding you. This is a tragic event. The Islamic Republic of Iran, that was reiterated by Imam Khomeini. Why didn't you defend those whose qualifications were rejected by the Guardians Council? Or let's say that the parliament, those candidates who wanted to run for the parliamentary elections. And in fact, your correspondence with Mr. Larijani, the Majlis Speaker, reached to the point that Mr. Larijani said that the President's letters look like a joke. And we didn't have such a thing before. In fact, we want to preserve and protect the prestige of the Islamic Republic that was emphasized by Imam Khomeini. The second point is the issue of financial corruption. You spoke about financial corruption since you took office. First, remember that if I was the majlis speaker, I would have asked you to just provide me with the names of those involved in financial corruption. You did not name those behind financial corruption. And in fact, the judiciary chief protested and eventually we did not learn about those cases of financial corruption. In fact, this is something stipulated by the law that in case you are informed about financial corruption, you have to inform the judiciary. And if you don't do so, that would be in contrast with the law. You are just launching a psych warfare. And such a psychological warfare has caused such a situation.
جناب عالی الان میفرمایید نیست اینا مدارک اینا میگن میفرمایید که من که دولت نبودم
I was not in the government at that time. I was not the government and you also mentioned Mr. Hashemi and so on
میفرمایید که اول اینجوری نیست میگن به دستور حضرت عالی 40 میلیارد تومان وام دادن به آقای چیز
You said that based on your orders, 40 billion tumans of loans were given to Mr. Mahsouli. And you're saying that, you're addressing the people saying that you cannot receive 1 or 2 million tumans of loans. We cannot just name them. I'm astonished that if I just name anyone here, is it correct or not? In fact, there should be some sort of fact-finding efforts to be made.
And
if not, I can apologize to the people with all my courage. And we can just set up a committee in order to look into all these facts. And if his figures were not true and correct, he can also apologize to the people. You think that we actually get our figures from illiterate people? No, we get the figures from the people who are involved in the banking system. The judiciary itself has not clearly told us how many files they are looking into. And the president is saying that actually a file has been sued and the judiciary may reject that and it seems as if this is just settling the accounts, a personal account.
Thank you very much.
How come the Supreme Audit Court is saying that, for example, 1 billion tumans has been lost? Why is it said that when you were Tehran mayor? How come it is said that there's a need for investigating 300 billion tumans? And in fact, the commission is calling for a probe into the case. Let me just explain this for the people. In fact, in order to launch a probe, there should be a commission. The commission must cast the vote in favor of the probe. And twice we had the vote in favor of a probe, and it has been rejected twice. That should become clear, because there are claims raised about 300 billion tumans. And the file has been sent to Ardabil. The judiciary said that the proceedings has been blocked. And I have the names in my mind. I know who has said this in the judiciary, who has called for the claim. And in some cases, I have to just name the people. They are making efforts in order to move the file from one place to the other. Shouldn't all these become clarified? We are responsible for the people's properties and assets. So the people must be informed. This is not a simple subject.
Thank you very much. 9 minutes, 51 seconds.
Okay, thank you very much. I think, Mr. Karoubi, the information they have given you is wrong, as you said. You are misinformed, like you yourself said. If you can prove one case, I will accept all the others. You said that the 40 billion tomans has been given to Mr. Mahsouli in loans, in my order. Why didn't you report a judiciary? This way, this is only a game, a propaganda game, you know it. Even one single riyal, Mr. Mahsouli has not given from a loan. That's not true. You can write it if Mr. Mahsouli has received in his whole lifetime even 1 cent from any Iranian money, the whole loan can go to Mr. Karoubi and his electoral team. All can belong to him, if this is proved true. The statistics, the official statistics you're questioning, you know what that means? That means your own past performance is being put in, is being questioned, not Ahmadinejad's. Somebody has told me as an expert, this is what you say, that this is wrong data. This is the central bank's official statistics. This is the figures from Iran's statistical center. If you do not approve of these, what will you say about the performance of your friend who've been ruling the country in the past? What have they done with all that money they earned in this country? Why do you question your own performance in the past? This is the same statistics in the past. It's for the present now, but it's same organizations. All governments have been acting based on figures of these two organizations, not mine only. Mr. Khatami's government, on what basis did they report? Mr. Khatami himself did not measure anything. Himself, Mr. Hashemi did not do the measurement himself. There is the Iran's statistical organization and the central bank. If there is only one person in that organization or in the central bank, if I never told them to do anything to manipulate this, then you would be right. They cannot manipulate. They cannot do that.
Well, has anyone said that? I apologize for interrupting you.
We have three sources for producing documents, the Budget and Planning Organization, Statistical Center, and the Central Bank. They get the figures, and they have always been at odds, of course, on little margins, and they have always talked about these differences and removed those differences. This has happened all the time. You see these? These are the insults and accusations that your newspaper has leveled against me. These are the headlines. If in my government, be it in the government or in the governor general's office or as Tehran's mayor, if there is 1 cent money which is missing, then they would have filled your newspaper and your friends' newspapers with documents. They have no proof. You cannot raise those claims just like this. At this point, I want to say that I have had a proposal. Do you accept that or not? I said, anyone who is a candidate is running for president and his electoral campaign team and his family, all they should announce all their belongings and their properties. They should publicize. They should say where all the wealth came from, and they should make a commitment. If they have hidden anything, the judiciary can confiscate it to the people's benefit, if proved otherwise. I do not accuse anybody of corruption. I say, if you're a revolutionary person, why did you receive money from Shahram Jazayiri? If anybody gave me any money, why didn't you have the documents? Why didn't you publicize it? Publish it for everyone to know. There's a 300 million and a 200 million. It's recorded. One 300 million, which you approved of it, and he, Jazayiri, also has talked of another figure. 300 million tomans 7-8 years ago. How much would it be now? Why did Jazayiri pay you, give you that money? You are a politician. Why didn't you ask him the reason why he gave you that money? What objective did he have in mind? Well, I have many more questions like this. You said that in the election time, well, it's time to contribute. But the performance and what your deeds and your words prove otherwise. You're questioning the whole electoral system, the system in which you yourself were elected. And according to that system, you became permanent speaker, and you're questioning the very same system. and also your fellow party members and your comrades who were also elected in the same electoral system. Let's all of us announce the riches we have, all our properties of us, our family members and relatives. If anybody commits a crime, they should be dealt with very seriously and more vehemently. If there is one case I report to the judiciary, why don't they announce it tomorrow? Why don't they say that a manager called regarding or send a message regarding a dossier or anything like that? Nothing, absolutely no case, no story. Now let's talk about the management of the country. One of the major indices of management in a country are the consumption of government, where the government spends the money, the government spending, the income of the government from oil, from taxation. Where does this money go to? How is it spent? If we look at this diagram here, the credits line from government, there are two parts. One part is consumption, and they spend the money actually, and the other part, it takes the money and puts it in, it invests in, like in roads, transportation, universities, hospitals, and schools are made. In the previous government, the growth of consumption rate in the previous governments was like this. You can see how it grew. This, the red one, belongs to this government. You can see, you can compare. The consumption of development projects in the previous government was this blue one here, and in this government is the red one. As you can see, the money that people got from the people, they have spent less, and they have actually made more investment. It has made railway tracks, schools, universities, hospitals, laboratories, research centers, and people can see for themselves. They cannot say it does not exist. So you can ask people anywhere I go. I ask people, there were 10 projects to be performed here. Tell me if they have happened. They say 8 of them are there. Two of them are in process. Everything this government has done is being witnessed by people. Everything is clear. Decision-making is clear and precise. It's scientific. And it's unlike all the claims that you made at the beginning of this session, that this is superstition. I'm an academic myself, Mr. Kerubi. I'm talking scientifically. Why not discuss it scientifically? Based on what document are you refusing these figures? You should have your own report. The reports by international organizations also approve of these figures here. Isn't that interesting? Those who are talking about macroeconomies of countries and they're controlling and monitoring these and publishing at the world level, they're also talking of Iran's economic stability. We talk about 7 million tons of steel production. There's an increase. We give it a source. You can go check it out for yourself. We have this much cement. We have petrochemical industries on the ground. Why don't you go see for yourself? When we're talking about inflation rate declining, it is declining. When it was 25%, the central bank itself announced it was 25%, and it's now the central bank that's announcing it's 15%. It's not anybody from outside. The central bank was announcing the inflation rate day after day, and we never negated it because people, as you say, feel this. It's tangible for them. And when the central bank says it's declining, so the rate is declining. So everything is well documented, whatever we have done. Let me raise another issue. Another index in the economic management of the country is the stock exchange and the capital. In the previous government, there was a big bubble with some kind of game and manipulation. No certain law was completed regarding the stock exchange. No mechanism was set there. There was a bubble, and there were some figures which were not realistic. Some people gained, some people lost. But in this government, as you can see here, we transferred the ownership. Before this government, as you can see, from 16, 17 years ago, government factories, how the ownership were transferred, as you can see in the diagram, 27 years ago and then 20 years ago, up until 4 years ago. You can see the volume of the transfer of ownership from government to the private sector. This is regardless of the justice stocks and the part that the parliament This is what the stock exchange directly put at the disposal of the people. And approximately all the institutions before this government, who in different ways by nepotism and in one way I mentioned that night, all of them face problems. Today, the institutions, business institutions that face problems are mostly those that before the revolution were sold to people through middlemen, through nepotism, and they all have faced problems in manpower and in management. One of the institutions transferred during this government is facing no problem because
thank
it's done
you
the
much,
right
Mr.
way.
Medinejad. You spoke about 10 minutes and 30 seconds. You have spoken 20 minutes and something.
Well, Mr. Ahmadinejad, I still want to emphasize the figures you mentioned. The figures you're mentioning, I do not want to claim to be an expert, but as we discuss the figures with experts, they consider these figures to be wrong. You are a brave man. You name individuals. You are a courageous man. You tell Mr. Mousavi that there's a lady, shall I talk about that lady? And you said, shall I talk about her? Let me inform the young people that Zahra Rahnavard has a brighter record than Mr. Mousavi himself, and she had written two books after the revolution. When in 1986, Imam Khomeini had a plan, and we invited Ms. Zahra Rahnavard to just help in order to implement the plans regarding Shahid schools, the schools for the children of the martyrs. Actually, I was somehow concerned about the point mentioned by Mr. Ahmadinejad, and I wondered why Mr. Mousavi was somehow keeping silent. And when Mr. Ahmadinejad mentioned Zahra Rahnavard, I was really surprised we cannot name individuals. You said Mr. Hashemi. You mentioned Mr. Hashemi. There's a quotation from you in the daily, and it was about the grandeur of Mr. Hashemi when you were in Erdebil, and of course he's a friend of mine, and we have been together in prison, and in fact we do have differences of views, and this time he's just supporting Mr. Mousavi. Mr. Natev, he is an old friend of ours, and he is a credible person. Even though we have differences of views, but still we are friends. And regarding Erdebil file, they did not give in, and in fact I was not informed. And I told the Interior Minister that Mr. Natev is also complaining about this. And why don't you, I told the Interior Minister, why don't you just sign the decree? When Mr. Khatami did not invite him, I was upset. And I said, why didn't you invite Mr. Ahmadinejad, even though Mr. Alviri or Malik Madani was to become the mayor? You are just naming the individuals, and I cannot just present my views. I don't know what to say. And I think we should actually come up with a new approach. I do also accept some people from your government and also some people from the judiciary in order to look into these figures and the statistics in order to confront the authenticity of the figures. Now let me just talk about foreign policy and talk about your foreign policy. You're saying that your foreign policy has been quite successful. What sort of success is this? You congratulate, you offer your congratulations and you did not get a response. And Imam Khomeini wrote a letter to Gorbachev, and Gorbachev is still proud of the letter he received from Imam Khomeini. And he has been, in fact, he sent his foreign minister, and he had 20 minutes of time in order to have a meeting with Imam Khomeini. In fact, the Imam said that I wanted to shed light on the spirituality and inform him about the spirituality. If I become the president, I will maintain my relations with Mr. Chavez. You have said that Venezuela is the backyard of the U.S. So what benefits have we gained from such a backyard? With Mr. Saddam, with Mr. Obama. You see that Chavez
excuse
has
me, Mr.
been embracing
it seems
Saddam
that your microphone
and Mr. Obama.
Please fix it.
You said Saddam has embraced Obama?
No, I'm referring to Mr. Chavez. What I'm trying to say is that he's trying to maintain his national interests. In fact, his national interests makes it necessary for him to talk with you, to sit with you, to sit with Saddam, to sit with Obama and hold talks with Obama. In fact, he's doing the right thing. But in fact, this is the way it goes with our relations with the world community, with Italy, with Europe itself. And you're saying that the sanctions have been of no use. These are the problems we face, the issue of foreign policy. Now, it is necessary to actually read this for you. This is what the former Mossad chief has said. Probably will be made that I'm a Zionist. If hundreds of billions of dollars have been spent by Mossad in order to maintain Israel's interests, no one better than Ahmadinejad could just materialize this goal in an interview with the Israeli television. He said that no one can maintain Israel's interest better than Ahmadinejad. And he also continued that existence of Ahmadinejad for Israel is a valuable gift and even a divine gift, a miracle for Israel. Every sentence he utters against Israel actually makes it easier for Israel to proceed with its policies. What is the meaning of this? You have become a global champion. Dear Ahmadinejad, my dear brother, in fact, there's a difference between, a total difference between the message of Imam Khomeini and the message by Ahmadinejad. In fact, I was told that when the parliament speaker visits a country, it's not appropriate to have a meeting with the president. And when I and in fact, I was told that actually Mr. Karoubi was warmly welcomed during his visit. And Mr. Karoubi means the Islamic Republic of Iran. So in fact, we should see what are the benefits of and the outcomes of this foreign policy. You're saying that we are managing the whole globe and so on. What does that mean? Just it is said that you said that actually you have visited 100 countries and they have asked us to provide them with our management model. What What is this management model? What is, assume that I'm a student of elementary school. Just tell me what is this management model. Elaborate about this management model. Actually, that's not the way it goes. And speaking of foreign policy and Arab states, you sit over there, your photo is there, and you have sat under actually a photo where you see the Arab Gulf, the Arabian Gulf, just above your head. And we have been emphasizing that even 500 years before, 500 before the Christ, it has been named as the Persian Gulf, and it will remain the Persian Gulf. And this is the photo I've been referring to. This is the photo of Mr. Ahmadinejad, and here you see the Arabian Gulf just above his head. Is this the performance of our foreign ministry? Is this our successful foreign policy? And some people and you see the Arabs have become so obstinate that they are setting conditions for us. They say that we're going to take part in the Islamic championship contest, provided that you change the name of Persian Gulf to the Arabian Gulf.
10 minutes, 35 seconds.
How long have I spoken?
You have spoken for 30 minutes and 30 seconds.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Karabi. Finally, did not give me the response where that 300 million tumana from Sharm el-Sheikh, his money went to.
You did not respond to the questions I raised about the Ardabil and so on.
Any issue, if there is a question, judiciary is there.
Just tell me about the case in Ardabil.
You asked
a question, I'm going to ask you a question.
The 300 million, you received that money. It is proved by the judiciary. The verdict is also issued. But your influence in the judiciary, even if it's not 100 times as much as my influence in judiciary, it's not less than me for sure. If anybody made recommendations for me to pull the strings for me, why don't they announce it? Please ask the judiciary to announce it. You made the worst insults against me, even my wife who has no role. You have the photo in your newspaper of my wife and you have insulted her. If you had one page of any document against her, why didn't you publish it in your newspaper? Everybody would have done that. Regarding the mayor's issue, Mr. Lari was going to fabricate a dossier, and they asked me to step down. They said, whatever documents you have, why don't you publish it? Whatever you have, I'm telling you now, whatever documents you have against me, why don't you publicize it? Whatever you have, put it on the table. Whatever against me, people should know. People should get to know their president. We should announce all the money that we have, all our income, properties, and whatever is illegal, the judiciary should confiscate. You did not mention what you did with that 300 million tumans. You mentioned Mr. Masouli. I said if he has received any money from any bank, the loan can all go to you. Regarding the Zionist regime, which I hate to even mention the name Israel, the lady mom said something, made a statement. He said they are so unclean, even if they cleanse themselves in the cleanest waters, they will still remain unclean. They made such claims, Mr. Karabi did now, to show that Iran has some links with Israel. This is Iran has bought weapons from Israel. And then the lady imam gave that response. I'm giving Mr. Karabi the imam's response, actually, here. I'm asked two questions about the Zionist regime. Why are you sad about it? Why are you upset? I asked them, Holocaust, where did that happen? That's my question. Why in Palestine? Why is if it is in Palestine, Europeans don't know what to do about it. You went to Italy, they welcomed you. So good for you. The world is not limited to only a number of European countries in America. It's not the whole world. Remember the imam's values and principles. Don't go awry. You're not expected to do that. A number of European countries do not welcome us. I visited 60 countries, actually, and the foreign minister will publish the report. 60 presidents came here.
Just tell me five of those who have asked for the management model of yours.
Mr. Cavity, you had your own share.
I apologize.
Turn, it's my turn. I specifically tell you something. If next term I'm elected president, I will never follow the foreign policy of you and Mr. Khatami. Let me make it clear here. Because I find him to the detriment of the country. And the result is clear. The nuclear story is gone, we were labeled axis of evil, and they made their own commitments. And what do we have now? Look at our achievements. If you're ready, I'm also ready. I'll shed light on everything. I don't need to train you, but I will give the explanations necessary. Today, in the general diplomacy, is everything, is the most important thing. Please, if you study and if you advise your friends to do research, diplomacy means you should know about world public opinion when you're addressing the world. What did Mr. Obama say the other day? What impacts are these? Is he feeling sympathetic toward us, or is it the diplomacy of the country? Bush 4 years ago said Iran must collapse, but Obama says now without Iran we cannot take any step. He wants Iran's cooperation. How can we ignore the victory of the Iranian status internationally? Italy is upset. It doesn't matter. Is Italy the only country or two, three other American or European countries? You want Mr. Bush also talked the same thing, said the same thing you are saying. Why do you want a nuclear Iran? Nuclear program is to your detriment. Why do you talk about the Zionist regime? You are echoing the same words. Why do we talk about disruption in our ties with other countries? Where do we have disruption? Don't you remember what happened to previous governments? You talked about the Arabian Gulf. I won't give you a response. I simply refer to Arab linguists. The phrase Al-Arabi refers to Doval in Arabic, which means governments. They never called it Arabian Gulf. I'm so sorry, I regret this, and your friends have mentioned this. Let's, those who know Arabic well, judge about this. The head of that government we traveled to in an interview said, Arabic countries say this, and Iran mentions the Persian Gulf, and Iran is right. We have adopted the strongest diplomacy, and we back it. What you said, our relations with all countries are disrupted. Well, regarding Mr. Anavert, who I really respect, I asked Mr. Mousavi twice. He thought I was going to talk about somebody else. I asked him, I don't want to go into detail. The law serves everybody equally. We cannot say one person is revolutionary, so you must be given privileges. No, we don't accept that. Everybody must be respected. There is another point I want to mention. Before that, I would like to say this. In the year 1365, you were the head of the Hajj pilgrimage organization. It was 1976. You said we should equip to struggle Israel in a military combat, and Iran should mobilize all its forces, and 300,000 troops are being mobilized in Quds battalions, and Mr. Karabi said that we should embark on an armed struggle against the regime. Why, in what capacity did you announce this on behalf of the Islamic establishment? Now the foreign policy and principles are being approved by both by people, the parliament, and the leader himself. How can others comment on this? Everybody can have a comment. Okay, we thank him, but they do not represent the establishment. Why should they do that? If the Zionist regime were to give a prize, they should have given that prize to this, Mr. Karabi. From that position, you have reached this position now. When I ask two questions about the Holocaust, you condemn me instead of condemning the Zionist regime. Don't you think your positions have changed? I like you, but look at the gap. Americans are unhappy, Europeans are unhappy, and you are unhappy too, and making protests like they do. Another index in the economy is the ratio of exports and imports compared to income, actually. All government performances are here from 27, 8 years ago. The ratio of oil and gas exports, which is export import ratio of oil and gas, how much petrodollars we made and how much imports we had, the blue one. As you can see, it has been more than the foreign capital. They either borrowed from central bank or made foreign debts. It's been the same in previous governments. As you can see here, above 100%. In this government, if you can see the aspect, the ratio between import and export of oil and gas is over 70-something percent and also 63.5%. That means there has been a leap in export of oil and gas. That means we have reserved some foreign exchange, and now the central bank has a reserve which is the most reliable in the course of the government history in this country. I do not want to mention the statistics. World forums have put it at $120 billion. With media hype and fabricated documents, we cannot run a country. A president himself must be the best of experts himself. Well, you can't say, I don't know it, but the experts say this. Maybe they may contradict remarks. How can you make sure they are right? You yourself must be an expert. Hundreds of experts might have their own comments. How do you put them all together and decide? You yourself must be a great expert, an expert of experts, to be able to approve of or disapprove of what they say. I cannot wait for experts to see what they say. Therefore, the story of Mr. Shahram Jazari should not.
Mr. Ahmadinejad spoke for 10 minutes, and you have about 12 minutes.
Thank you very much. There are a couple of points I wish to mention, and I will tell you about Shahram Jazari. In 1986, there was, I have not mentioned the Quds Brigade, I wonder whether such a brigade existed or not. My comments and remarks were based on the approach by Imam Khomeini, and he said neither east nor the west. And in fact, we want to promote the world of Islam. Actually, I wanted to tell you a story, and I want to just tell you about the accuracy and precise approach by Imam Khomeini. And it's really, actually, I cannot tell you the story due to shortage of time. I was not informed about the armed conflict you mentioned. In fact, there were some movements contrary to the orders by Imam, and Imam did prevent it. And in fact, we had the best role to play at that time. Those people of Hamas and the Lebanese, also preferred such moves at that time. In 1986, there was a plane, and it was. It became clear that there were some ammunition inside the plane. It was kept. And in fact, in connection with the experts you mentioned, I have actually asked you 10 questions and you are not responding even to a single one. I'm asking about the Ardabil file in the judiciary. Your own experts, Mr. Danish Jafari, Khoshchehre, Afru, Rahbar, these were all your comrades, and they have left your team. This is the second point. And the third point is that you are claiming that I have been connected to some currents, Mr. Shariat Madri, Mr. Safaria, Mr. Naqdi, these are all your, Mr. Misbah Yazdi, Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi, Ayatollah Jannati, these are all your friends, and you are in touch with this grouping. And in fact, Mr. Jannati is also saying that what you write must be just collected in a book. I'm a revolutionary, I'm a deep-rooted revolutionary, but what I'm trying to say is that we should speak in a calculated manner. If we, I defend myself, I do not want to just get involved in the government, either at the time I was at the Majlis or by the Supreme Leader, I actually, regarding the nuclear issue, I have always called for our inalienable right, and I rejected suspension, I called for continuation of negotiations, and I did emphasize that the leader has to, the Supreme Leader has to go on with the policy making in this regard. I was neither the negotiator nor present at the meetings. And in fact, we were either invited or provided with the report at the Supreme National Security Council or the leader's office. Regarding Holocaust, we want to see whether that has happened or not. This is the first point. And you think that you are defending the Imam of the time? You're saying that the Palestinians have become homeless and the Zionists have just seized their lands, the Palestinians' lands. We have been saying from the very first day that the Palestinians have to return to their homeland. And in fact, I'm referring to the proposal by the Islamic Republic for holding a referendum. We should not magnify this, and we should not... Now, regarding Jazayiri, Jazayiri's case, Mr. Ahmadinejad, I should tell you that since you have emphasized this several times, even my friends have mentioned this. Since you have been mentioning this several times, I'm a clergyman. I have certain permissions from Imam Khomeini. No one has such permissions. I have some permissions in written form. In fact, let me just make it brief. We had the Revolutionary Committees. Mr. Nader was in Jihad organization. And also I was in charge of the relief committee. And the relief committee had to take care of the vulnerable strata of the society. Every morning I received money from Ayatollah Sani, and also I traveled to Shiraz, Khuzestan. I took money there and went. At that time I had 7 million tumans. I became in charge of the relief committee, and Imam, the late Imam, did provide me with more decrees. And also I was provided with confiscated assets to be distributed among the people, and in fact the accounts were separate. Actually, I do not want to name anyone. There were people coming to me and they brought Mr. Jazayiri to me, and Mr. Jazayiri did give the money. It was 300 million tumans, and Mr. Jazayiri did not ask me for anything.
الانم باید من پول بدن. من دیگه پول ندارم پول نفت خرج کنم.
Actually I have no money to spend the oil money or the just spend the revenue of municipalities.
الان برای انتخاباتم خرج کنم. بالاخره باید دیوان بدن. اما یه کسی بگه یک قرونش رو از جای اون.
In fact, I've not received money from any place. I have made phone calls for the MPs for the housing, and fortunately, Jazairi did not even ask me to make a phone call. Ask Mr. Ghali Baba, I've written so many letters, and perhaps I've called you. Regarding the plots of lands and also regarding the family of Qudusi, and Ms. Qudusi Sindadiyeh himself has issued an order. I asked about the experience council about the building of the Qudusi family, and he said that you were not informed. And Ms. Qudusi, the daughter of Mr. Tabatabai, she is the wife and the mother of martyrs. I have to just look through the papers here. In fact, the Supreme Leader has reprimanded in a using a reprimanding tone and has addressed Mr. Shah Rudi that somebody has given money to someone else, and in fact the money has been spent, and no one has actually asked the other party to do a favor. And that it's not in line with the status of the judiciary.
You have 2 minutes. He has about 11 minutes. He has to conclude.
So this is my last chance. So I can just say something in conclusion to see what use I can make from 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kerbe. Finally, we did not get the response about Sir Jazair's story, how that $30 million was spent. You talk about all the imam and all other people, and you were talking about somebody, a convict behind bars. Well, Mr. Kerubi, corruption takes shape in the same way. 300 million goes to this person, 200 million goes to that person, then they do what they want to do in this country. I'm surprised how you did not realize where that money came from. Whoever pays you some money, you simply get it, even illegal. How can you justify this, that the imam gave you special permits? You were not in charge of the relief committee, nor were you in charge of the martyrs' affairs. You are a cleric and you are respected like others. I have 2 more questions for you. They say that when you were in charge of the Martyrs Foundation, you established a prison there and you put people behind bars and people were beaten there. How can you elaborate this? Did you have permit from the late imam again or from the judicial officials? How on earth could you form a prison there and put people behind bars in the Martyrs Affairs Foundation? I have 1 more question for you. I asked, let us announce and publicize to the people how much money we earn, what capital we have, what house we have. Why not, Mr. Karabi, announce where he lived before the revolution and where he lives now? What's wrong with that? I told everybody my salary from university. I've announced it publicly. The judiciary knows all about it. The house, everything belongs to me. If there is anything in my personal life and let my wife, my relatives, you can publicize it without my permission for everyone to know what I have. Everything is clear. I have a house. My bank accounts are announced. It's only the money I receive from government. I have no other source of income. At university, while I do some research and other things, I have get another pay from the university. That's what I make. Why doesn't Mr. Karabi say where his income comes from? Where did he, how did he buy his house? Is it through the same money that Imam gave him special permits, or Mr. Jazayiri and people like him gave him the money to buy that house, or if he has any economic or business activities, why doesn't he mention it here?
Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Well, Mr. Jazayiri has given me the money, and we never launched a probe to see where he has just made that money from. If actually, I was really careful to see whether he wants me to do him a favor. And in fact, he just wanted to give me that money in the form of assistance. This is the first point I had to clarify. The second point is about the financial issues he's mentioning. Actually, I have the document. $700 million of government money. He wanted to give it to someone, and the leader actually hampered this and prevented this from taking place. And in fact, there was a dispute, and actually, he refused to pay the money. So he was asking for permission by the Supreme Leader, and he wanted to pay $700 million to one of the heads of the state, and the leader opposed with this proposal to pay that money. I just want to enlighten your mind. Is there, let me just mention Mr. Ali Abadi and his relatives. Aren't they in the prison? And in fact, there are people who are quite close to you and are in prison. So, since I have no more time left, just in one word, you're saying that you're just rejecting what I'm saying, so what can I do? But you, your oil revenue, it is said that the revenues by the Mr. Hashimi's government and also the other government have been equal to 3 years of your office, your term in office. And in fact, you are just mentioning cases of progress. And
thank
you see that none of the plans have been implemented there.
Your time is over.
Well, again, I'm not convinced what Mr. Sharam Jazayiri's money, where the money went to, and 100 square meter house of yours turned to a several hundred meter house in a very rich area of Tehran. Nothing is clear. Mr. Karabi, people should know.
First, you have to make it clear whether what you are saying is right or not. You are mentioning the case in Ardabil, the Ardabil case.
Know, we have set the times, please.
Let him talk, yes, no problem. Mr. Karimi, I want you, if I ever wanted to give anybody $700 million and the central bank says I should have a leader's permit, why don't you publicize it? Publish it in your newspaper tomorrow. Why next week? You insulted my wife who has had no role in such things in your newspaper. Maybe you're not informed that this is a story.
I'm not informed.
Well, a person who's going to become president and knows nothing about the newspaper he's running, how can that be? How can he run a country? I apologize to you, as a cleric, given your performance, your records. Don't you know that there is the photo of my wife in your newspaper and she was insulted in your paper and you're not informed? Why didn't you go and follow that story?
You showed the photo of the wife of a manager, one of the guests.
Okay, if you're free to talk, if you want to use my time, no problem, go ahead and take my time. You already used my time, my turn.
So after the elections, you can have
2-3 weeks ago in your newspaper, if you go and look at it,
Just tell me what the case was. I was uninformed.
Okay, I want to use my time the way I want to. So you did not elaborate on the house of yours about Shahram Jazayiri's money regarding the prison and the Martyrs Affairs Foundation, and if you are going to publicize the source of income and the wealth of you, your family, and the relatives and your campaigners and comrades there, and if $2 million was going to be given to the telecommunications company for propaganda SMS. $20 million to be given to the telecommunications company for SMS propaganda campaign, actually. If he elaborates on the sources where he got this money, he should publicize this and tell people. They should know all about this. They need to hear your explanations and where that money came from. I have 7-8 minutes time, all right? Okay. This government has been at the service of people doing expert work. More than 1,000 hours I have held meetings with economic experts. When economists, well, maybe there are a few people who oppose our opinions, but we never reject this. But in 50 member, in 10 member, in 30 member, 4 or 5 hour sessions, we have convened these sessions. The president himself should be a senior expert himself. When you're simply referring to and relying on experts' work, an expert should become president. The president must run all this. Everywhere in the world, you know, your personal views affect those reports. Experts' words are not to be taken for granted and should not be considered as absolutely true. In your documentary today, again referred to what we call STARD students. I have the figures here. It was during Mr. Moin's time who published a declaration. From 1999, there were a number of students as STAR students. Then it changed to 2,500 students. And 2 years ago, there were 224 STAR students. And we canceled it all. And then you talk about some people who say we are STAR students, a few students who talk about this. Then the STARs are registered somewhere on the day the results are announced. Well, we talked about the patrol in this city, the vice squad patrols, actually. I refer to these. I want to mention some facts about the future. I want to address our great and respected people. You chose this government, and this government is at your service, has been at your service with full force. I have already announced, and I'm announcing now, Mr. Kirby and his comrades, if they have any cases of corruption about me, my ministers, my wife, my children, why don't they simply publicize in their newspapers if they have substantiated proof? We are moving toward future, and with the blessing of God, this inflation will go lower. It will be one digit. This is all the economic analysis indicate this. We have maintained our GDP and constructiveness. Regarding employment in the future, we have 3 major plans. We have small institutions, large corporations, and we're going to set the stage for further investment. We have 7 projects to correct the economic structure. Part of it is in the parliament, part of it is on the way. Everything to implement the Article 44 of the constitutional law is being done. 42 bylaws have been written. And this government has shown that people can, the potential of the people is being flourished in science and technology and politics and culture. And God willing, government will remove all the obstacles and support the people for housing. Our projects will flourish this year. The price housing, that 99-year plan, the price will be removed. Houses will be transferred. The ownerships will be transferred. And people can construct the houses themselves so that the price goes down. We have a plan for employment for the youth, and with the blessing of God, we'll follow all these through. 4 years, our friends said whatever they wanted to say. We tolerated all this. We did not answer. And Mr. Karabi's newspaper, lots, hundreds of insults and accusations were leveled. We never responded to any of them. Some people criticize us why we never responded to these. In a situation where the country was being besieged by political pressure, outside pressure, we were not supposed to enter this. No construction would be made, no good economic indices would be achieved. We have, we do have problems these days, but they are being alleviated and removed. We would never have become nuclear that way. The path is the same path. We're at the service of the people. We're alongside them. We are the healthiest in the government, and we are serving the people. And if there is any lawlessness, they would have announced it, and nothing like that has happened. Fortunately, there is a clear path by people's side. We will follow it scientifically, honestly, and with the blessing of God, Iran should be one of the best countries in the world. It can, and it must have a determining role in the management of world affairs. It certainly can. It should be the most respected country, the most advanced country in the world. That's our perspective, and it can happen. We think that Iranians can. We do not look at the Iranian people through the eyes of the enemy. We say that our people are capable, and they must acquire the highest peak in the world.
You have 1 minute more.
1 minute? Okay, just simply want to thank all the people of Iran, the self-sacrificial people of Iran, for all their support they lent us. Yesterday in Isfahan, the day before that in Mashhad, I was there. We'll continue provincial trips. I'll keep monitoring all the activities. They said some people support us. Well, yes, majority of people in the past 4 years supported us, but I have no party, no political party. I never spent one single cent during the electoral campaign. I have no money to spend that way. I simply want our great nation to allow me to serve them another 4 years.
Thank you very much. Well done, Mr. Ahmad Najad. Well done, Mr. Karoubi.
I wish to thank you very much. There are some points remaining
well
points
in the future talks
later raise and address.
I would like to thank the viewers and also the listeners. Till next debate, goodbye.
Okay, so that was the much-anticipated debate between presidential hopeful Mehdi Karoubi and incumbent President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. No time for me to give analysis because we're handing over the analysis and the floor to you, a special UEP Press TV coming up just in moments. Let me give you the telephone number so you can get your calls in straight away. 0098 21 230 1100. That's 0098 21 230 1100. Your thoughts on the speech you just heard, and a question for you: why has this Iranian election become so unpredictable? I'm going to hand you over to William and to the callers.